before we get started, let me get your name, sir. What is your name, sir? Thank you so very much, sir. The Honorable Mr. Kalanis will be conducting your hearing, so just hold on and we will begin very shortly, sir.
Mr. Wright, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir.
Just give me 1 second, and we'll get this hearing started.
Ms. Rittenhouse, is that what we're waiting for? Do you know where the system is?
Okay, sir, can you state your full name and ABC number for the record?
Jeffrey Eugene Wright, 086761.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a 31-412A parole hearing to consider regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. If you can see on the teleconference screen, to my far left is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. At the center of the bench is our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. My name is Luis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel chairman for your hearing. And to my right is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. I'll begin the hearing with a summary. Mr. Jeffrey Wright is 54 years old. He was certified eligible for the Arizona Department of Corrections for 31-412A regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. The crimes of armed robbery occurred on or about the dates between September 25, 1990 and October 7, 1990. He was approximately 26 years old at the time of the incident offense. He pled guilty on July 1, 1991 and was sentenced on July 29, 1991. It should be noted that he has a criminal history dating back to 1982, including state of Virginia convictions for hit and run, grand larceny, petty larceny, credit card forgery, and armed robbery. It should be noted that Mr. Wright was a fugitive from Virginia parole when he was arrested for his incident offense, and his current conviction represented a steady escalation in violent crime. He owes $2,078 in restitution. Mr. Wright has been 31-412A parole eligible since October 9, 2016. Does this sound correct so far, Mr. Wright?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. I will read a brief summary of the current offense in question. On November 9, 1990, Jeffrey Eugene Wright was charged in connection with multiple armed robberies of numerous businesses and banking institutions. These armed robberies were committed at gunpoint. The defendant was also on parole. During these robberies, the defendant brandished a gun and demanded money from victim clerks. The defendant admitted he selected stores with female clerks because they would cooperate easily. The defendant also admitted that he had committed 10 or more armed robberies in the Phoenix area. The defendant pled guilty to 2 counts of armed robbery, a Class 2 dangerous felony. The plea agreement stipulated to a prison sentence of 2 life sentences to run concurrently. As a part of the plea, the parties agreed that the sentence should run concurrently with the defendant's federal case. The defendant's federal case appears to be related to 3 additional bank robberies handled in federal court at the same time as this case. In exchange for this plea agreement, the state agreed to dismiss the additional 12 armed robberies. In addition to the armed robberies in Arizona, the defendant was convicted in Roanoke, Virginia for felony larceny, felony robbery, and twice for felony credit card forgery. According to Mr. Wright's institutional progress report. He's had limited programming. He has a release plan that includes living with his fiancée. He's had no discipline in ADC since 1990, and we commend you for that. This is your second hearing before the board. He has numerous letters of support in his parole packet from family and friends. The Maricopa County Attorney's Office submitted a letter dated October 1, 2015, opposing a previous reduction in sentence for Mr. Wright. Mr. Wright, this is your first time before at least some of the members of this board. We'd like to get to know you. Can you tell us in your own words about the offenses that resulted in you being in prison?
Yes, sir. First of all, I just apologize. I was remorseful for the things I've done in my past. And, you know, like anybody can tell you, nobody but me can tell you, explain the things that happened. You know, like I said, I knew I was doing wrong. And, you know, I'm just blessed that no one got that seriously hurt. But I knew mentally, you know, that stuff hurts people. But as I look at the TV and stuff on TV now, but I wanted to also explain that, you know, when I was doing this stuff, I wasn't on no drugs. I was just chasing money. And, you know, which was the wrong thing to do in life. Because now look at things, I made my past behind me, and my future's getting better. You know, I'm programming, I'm saving money here, to, you know, I've been paying on my fines since I've been here. But like I said, you know, them things, like I said, when I was doing, you know, was very, very bad. And, you know, like I said, I apologize to all the people that I hurt in my past, and I'm trying to make my future a lot better than it was then.
Sir, you've been in the correction system for some time now. How have you changed since, as these years have passed?
Sir, first of all, I've changed because my criminal life is no longer thinking like that. My thinking process is working. Like, I got a job, I worked, and I paid on my fine. I got, you know, good supporters that showed me how to make things better, you know, programming, learning what you do in the program to help others, as well as helping myself. And every day I look at the situations of guys younger than me, and I try to explain that to them. The man I was once, he was one time, and I made my life better because I programmed and I did things to better my life.
Sir, I think you were pretty young when you entered the correction system, and I can't help but be impressed that you've had no discipline since 1990.
Yeah.
You know, we're pushing 28 years. How are you able to stay out of trouble in that environment? Because we certainly see a lot of discipline. We won't get into other cases, but we see a lot of discipline inside the system. How did you avoid that?
First of all, I'd like to thank myself for that because, you know, when I first got in the system, I told myself I was trying to do things to get out of prison because I knew I made a bad mistake back then. And what I've done, I worked in a unicorn factory when I was in the feds, and that's how I was able to save money and try to pay my federal fine, which I didn't know I had a state fine, but I've been paying them now. But I programmed when I was there. You see, if you look at my last, when I was in the federal system, I programmed in every program that I could possibly take up, and I worked, and then I played sports to try to keep my mind focused on what I'm supposed to be doing to try to make it to when I see y'all to make my life better.
If you can explain something to me regarding the federal charges, were you doing your federal time inside the state system, or were you inside the federal system for a while and moved to the state system?
No, I came here in December. I left here from Central in December 21st of November. I moved in December 21st of 91 and went to the federal sentence and done my time. And then 2016, when the first year I seen the parole board, 2015, they gave me a year hit. So I finished my federal time 2016, and the state came and got me, transferred me back from 5 days to here, and I've been here since. So I came straight from the feds here.
Okay, so you were in a federal penitentiary or in a state system doing federal time?
Yes, sir. My time was running concurrent.
No, but I mean in a federal penitentiary or in a different state facility?
State penitentiary.
Okay. I thought that's the way, pardon me, sir. I thought that's the way I read it, but I wasn't sure if that was the arrangement or if you actually were in two different types of penal systems.
Went to Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, USP.
So you were working there?
I work in every institution that I've been, Lewisburg, Beaumont, Texas, Edgefield, South Carolina, Coleman, Florida, Bethel, West Virginia, Bethel, North Carolina. I work everywhere I've been and saved money. That's how I paid my $7,000 fine off in the fields, and I didn't find out until 2015 when I seen the board the first time that I had a state fine. I could have actually paid that off too, but I got my money that I had saved. I got things here that I had sent the money. They told me they'd pay it when I'm released. So they sent the money back to my fiance. But I got the money on hold so I can pay it when I release.
Thank you, sir.
They may take the money here too, as I'm working here too, to pay on my fine too.
Again, sir, because, you know, the board represents accountability as well as mercy. We don't want to be just forget that there was a string of crimes that you did that resulted in you having some long prison sentences. But again, I really do want to commend you for your record of discipline. And it sounds like, in terms of your own personal discipline, that you've really gone the extra mile in paying your restitution, and that's very meaningful. What sort of jobs have you done inside the prison system?
When I was in Lewisburg, I was on the railing crew, railing lockers, making beds. And then I went to Beaumont, Texas. I was in a sewing facility where we was making armor for tear pants, camouflage, and a lot of different paint jobs, painted. And I spot rail, you know, then I take my CDL training license and stuff. I done everything that you possibly can do while I was in the prisons. Trying to better my life. So when I get out, I leave prison better than I came to prison. That was my project.
Again, I commend you for that. And it's almost tragic that this energy wasn't put into your life before the crimes. But
yes.
It certainly sounds like you have a good work ethic.
Yes.
You stated, do you have a wife or a fiancé outside of the system?
Fiancé, we scheduled to get married when we have one release.
Where is she living, sir?
For you. In Hopewell, Virginia, 517 Jefferson Avenue, Hopewell, Virginia.
You also had quite a few letters of support in your parole packet. Do you have any supporters in the room today, sir?
There's nobody here to visit from here, but
okay.
My family members I could have called. I got family members that I could have called. It was all my last board meetings, but there was the talk my Nancy. That's why all my letters come from my family members and my fiance family members. But a lot of my family members always stays in touch and everything.
Well, I will say that I, like you, I'm grateful that none of the robbery crimes that you were involved in ended in serious injuries or death. I'm glad that's the way it turned out, despite the road you took. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you at this point, sir. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
Sir, do you have any family or relatives here in Arizona?
Yes, sir.
So all your family and relatives are somewhere else?
Virginia, Florida, and California.
Okay, so if you were, do you understand if you were released that you'd have to probably stay here in Arizona until you were able to get a compact?
Yes, sir. And I got the halfway house package that I paid down to us. That's in the file that I sent.
I saw that. So I see that, most of your letters, you do have a lot of letters here from family. This looks like you come from a faith-based religious family.
Yeah, I'm always born Baptist too. And like I told them a long time ago when I got in trouble, I don't blame nobody but me. You know, because I was raised good by my grandmother, my mother, and all my aunties and uncles. And you know, like I told them a long time ago, you know, I hurt myself more than I hurt y'all. Because 6 days ago, my mother passed 14 years ago. So that really crushed me.
So, sir, you were, you say that you weren't doing any drugs, you were just...
No, sir, no drugs. I've never, you know, I played sports all my life. That's, you know, from growing up, that's all I ever did was play with sports and stay in shape, you know? And like I said, I took the wrong turn, and I look at stuff now that I'm watching these TVs, and I said, man, that was once me, and I just, you know, I want to be able to sit down and tell my grandkids, my niece and nephew, that's not the kind of life I want y'all to get into.
So you, the first robbery you did, because you were doing store robberies, bank robberies, what was the first type of robbery? Was it a bank or a store?
A store.
And then you just kind of traveled around and did robberies to get your money and keep moving?
Yeah, just get money and just, you know I said, buy things that, you know, that we need to have, you know, because like I said, when I graduated in 82, I had my first son at 81. So my mother told me, look, you need to get a job. And I started working. I don't need to pay the jobs, but I don't know, man. You know what I said? If I look at when I sit down, I write little things about myself from my past, and you know, just discuss with myself. And that's why I told myself, I never want to be like this again, ever. And you know, I try to talk to a lot of young guys here and show them that, man, I was once y'all, and if you keep doing what you're doing, man, this alone sentence you'll be doing, then you'll be going the wrong here, and I regret every day of it.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Any other questions from fellow board members? Yes, Dr. Wright.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Wright, why did you come out here to Arizona to commit crimes, sir? You had committed crimes elsewhere in the country, I mean other parts of the country, but all of a sudden you show up in Arizona. Why?
And I say this to say that, you know, I'm very apologize. I was coming from California, coming home to visit my people. This was in October. So I was trying to get back home to Virginia for the holidays and just ran out of money coming through here. And just, you know, I know picked up bad habits. You know, like you said, once you pick up bad habits, they kept getting bad. And, you know, like I said, I really apologize for the things I've done in my past. And, you know, I'm very remorseful for the things that happened in my past. Like I always said when I wrote the letter to y'all, I'm glad mentally, you know, I know I hurt a lot of people, but physically, I'm glad I didn't have that on my back, because I look at all these people that's on these TV that's killing people and just nonsense, all nonsense. So that's all that I'm going to say about.
Okay, I understand that, sir. Let me just ask this. Now, where's your son? You say you had a son in 1981. Where's your son now?
I got two sons, one 36 and one 31. They both on the street. When I got locked up, they was young. One was 8 and one was 3. And I tell them a lot of times, man, you see why mom we took your dad to be locked up? And if you don't do what you're supposed to do, work and try to earn yourself a job, keep a job, keep reading the department. And it's not, I'm not proud of this. I don't want y'all to ever grow up here and be like me. They said both of my sons work and doing what they're supposed to do. You know, my fiance and my aunties talk to a lot of them. I got pictures and everything. I want them. Grandkids, I got a lot of grandkids too.
And now how long you been dating your fiance, sir?
4 years.
How did you meet her?
4 years.
How did you meet your fiance?
It was a Facebook page that my brother had ran for me, but you know, they got his internet, because the federal system got emails and stuff like that, so you correspond with family members and stuff. And I met her like that.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir, and thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Board Chairman.
Thank you.
Any further questions?
Thank you.
You wouldn't ask, no. Okay, Mr. Wright, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We really ask that you don't repeat yourself, but this is your hearing, and is there anything else that you would like to share?
Yes, sir, and I'd like to thank you all for seeing me, and I want to say this out of deep in my heart and apologize, but I would be real to have the opportunity to have this position to get parole today, or whatever situation y'all on me, I'm sure y'all that my life has changed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wright. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like we're speaking with you, especially because you can hear and see us on the screen, but is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes and make a decision under the open meeting laws of Arizona? So we just ask that you remain on the phone, listen in on the discussion, and we will come back to you shortly with our decision, okay, sir?
Thank you.
Thank you so much. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I think this is probably going to be an interesting dialogue amongst the board, in as much that we don't want to dismiss the long string of crimes that Mr. Wright was involved in leading up to his arrest and conviction. It's obvious that he served time both in the federal and state system for robbery. But I also have to say, to balance that out, that I am duly impressed that he managed to serve so much time inside the correction system with no discipline, not even a small amount of discipline, but no discipline at all. I'm impressed with his work ethic. Certainly we look to see people. If we can safely return them to the community, be productive, responsible, and just overall good members of society. Of course, it's not easy when people return to the community. But I will have to, I got to say that at this point, I am open to options for supervised release, and that's where I'll begin the discussion. Yes, sir, I'm with
you now. Thank you, Mr. Quinones. I agree with you. I'm really impressed with Mr. Wright's ambition. I mean, he's not one to sit around, definitely. My only concern is that he doesn't really have a strong support system here in Arizona. And that would really be it. He's clearly accepts responsibility. He's made arrangements to start paying restitution or, you know, fines, whatever he owes. My only concern is just the lack of that support net here in Arizona.
Well, if you can help me continue the discussion, because sometimes it does get a little fuzzy for me, and that is an individual's request, and I know there's a process, interstate compacts down the road. How lengthy is that process from your experience in the correction system?
I do not know it. Maybe Mr. Westby.
Are you familiar with that, Mr. Westby?
It normally takes about 8 weeks for the
analysis. Okay. About 8 weeks. Thank you, sir. Yes, so Mr. Johnson.
I'm in agreement. I think that if he was given a home arrest, I think he'd be able to pay his fines and try to subdue the home arrest until he could get an interstate compact. If he goes to a halfway house, he'll probably get a job and work. I mean, he does have a work history. I do realize that he has a huge criminal past for robbery, but I will say that having worked that detail for a number of years, there are people who, you know, it's almost like a disease. They just go, they live off doing robberies. And, you know, they do robberies in this city for a while, and they get hot on them, they go to the next city, and they just keep moving and doing robberies and build up a list. But even in read the report, it appears that when he was apprehended, he was cooperative, you know, with the police to talk about the other robberies and what he's done. So he's been in prison for an extremely long period of time. I think he would be suitable for a home arrest situation.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further discussion, Dr. Wright?
I think that, you know, this is always, we cannot predict the future, and the word clemency is part of our title. Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I think that he talks a good game. I just hope that he would be, if this board saw fit, to give him home arrest, that he would not take advantage of this board. That's one of the concerns that I always have, especially when one has been institutional as long as he has. But I guess I would just go ahead and agree with my distinguished colleagues. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. I'm going to come out of discussion for just a second. I did want to ask a follow-up question to Mr. Wright. Mr. Wright, are you listening?
Yes.
You heard some of this discussion, and we're going to go back into discussion in a second, but I failed to ask you that. Regarding your fiance, and if this board released you on some home arrest situation, would she be coming to visit you? Would your plan to be to apply for interstate compact back to Virginia? Do you have a plan for that?
You prefer and to be in studio that I'm really on top of where I'm supposed to be on. I hear the interstate compact papers are here. I've already talked to a Mr. Michael Cisco, and I got the $200 on my account. They said that you spoke, but I feel the paper with my CO3, and the papers are already formed and everything. And yes, my fiance is willing to. She talked to the probation people there, and they said when I'm granted, just call them and let them know.
There's also the question of the first 2 months of financial.
Yes.
Have you discussed that?
Yes, we already have. I told you I didn't save. When I was in the fields, I was making $300 to $400 a month, so I already saved. And you've been waiting to have either pay the first, but you got to wait to find out who to pay it to first. Once when I get there.
Does your fiance work, sir, or is she retired?
Yes,
or?
Yes, she's been working for the Maricopa County School Department for 18 years. She still works.
So she's in the state?
No, she's in Hobart, Virginia.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you said Maricopa.
He did.
Yeah. All right. Pardon me, sir.
Her address is everything. Her address and phone numbers, and I put them in the pamphlet too.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. We're going to go back into discussion, but thank you for the follow-up information.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, fellow board members, I think we're getting to the end of deliberation here, so I'm going to go ahead and make a motion and see where the votes land. And I am going to make a motion to grant home arrest and not regular parole or absolute discharge for Mr. Jeffrey Wright, and that is my motion. Second.
Agreed.
Sorry about it, I checked the wrong box here, but I just corrected it. Just 1 second. Okay, Mr. Wright, the board has voted to grant home arrest to you unanimously, and I'm going to state some conditions of release associated with that. Are you listening? You have to follow all mandatory DOC conditions and sanctions, as you will still be considered an inmate of the system under home arrest status. Go through a needs assessment referral for counseling, vocational, educational. No alcohol use. Random tests for drugs and alcohol. I will say to begin with, may not operate a motor vehicle. Parole officer to monitor finances. No contact with victims or their family, because there were victims in this case. Must pay restitution or continue to pay restitution in your case. Abide by the institutional rules. Participate in available programming as directed. I believe you've already sought out a halfway house. That's correct, sir.
Yes, sir.
So, recommended halfway house. And I always forget the $65.
Yes, sir.
You have to pay a $65 supervision fee within the first 60 days?
Yes, sir.
And those are the conditions. Do you agree with the conditions, sir?
Yes, sir.
Well, then we congratulate you for making this huge step. We wish you success in your transition, a safe in productive transition. We expect you to abide by the conditions of your community, of your parole or community supervision. Again, we hope to see you succeed outside of the prison system.
And I thank you all for this, man. Appreciate it. Thank you all.
This concludes your hearing. Sir, if you could, please get the phone back to CO3. Oh, and some advice from the board here. I'm going to follow the lead of our esteemed board chairman. It is good advice not to be discussing your home arrest with fellow inmates. We would hate for anybody inside the system to play games with you, if you will, or do anything to cause a delay in release. You know, you have to continue to abide by the institutional rules, and we want to see you do well.
Yes, so you always do. You always learn whatever you get that's good, keep to yourself.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Right. Thank you, sir.